Childhood-lead poisoning can have devastating effects on virtually every system of the developing body. The number of older homes in West Virginia puts residents at high risk for exposure. While the numbers show that the Childhood-lead poisoning prevention program is working, no money exists for remediation.
She's going to use that for work.
Toddlers are playing on Kelly Rindle Swan's living room floor in Ohio County, one of the highest risk counties for childhood lead poisoning in West Virginia. For the most part, they seem happy.
No.
Sorry.
No.
Okay.
No.
It's yours.
And healthy. But one of the toddlers, a boy belonging to Kelly's younger brother Danny, has been poisoned, even though he exhibits no symptoms at this time. The culprit? Lead.
The bottom line is we should have, there should be no lead in blood.
That's Rao Gupta, West Virginia's Commissioner of Public Health.
This is one of those silent diseases that unless tested, which can lead to long-term memory impairment, behavioral and emotional challenges for the child.
The most common way children are exposed to lead is from the lead-based paint almost universally found in homes built before 1980, which is about 70% of West Virginia homes. Lead-based paint was outlawed in 1978. When the paint deteriorates and chips, dust particles that can be inhaled or even eaten are released. Think slobbery teething toy on the floor next to a baseboard covered in lead-based paint. Commissioner Gupta is one of several health officials tracking the West Virginia Childhood Lead Prevention Program, which tests and monitors children under the age of 6 for elevated blood levels and provides medical care when necessary. It seems to be making a difference. From 1997 to 2013, elevated blood lead levels in children under the age of 6 has dropped from 2.26% to 0.37% of the screened population. Last year, the CDC redefined acceptable blood lead levels as 5 micrograms per deciliter. When Danny Swan's son Ciro was screened earlier this year, his levels were a 19.
Our house was bought as a fixer-upper. It wasn't really move-in ready. So renovations have been ongoing and are currently ongoing while we live in the house.
When he turned 1, the Swans took Ciro in for a routine checkup and blood lead level screening.
19 it's not considered lead poisoning to the point where they'll bring you to the hospital and do blood chelation, but it is high enough that it's, you know, red alerts. And they sent us legally they were required to notify the state, and the state sent us a specialist to come test our house and figure out where the lead was coming from and provide us with recommendations.
Upon hearing the results of the test, Danny immediately took 2 weeks off from work and recruited friends and family for cleaning parties. He also began sealing off any possibility of lead in the third floor of their house. He calls this place a safe zone for his son. He talks about the process of a state lead tester coming to their home.
She found in our house what she basically already knew because she's tested so many houses, and that's that all the woodwork had been painted with a lead-based enamel, and also everything on the exterior of the house.
She explained that the lead-based paint used to be the best paint available. It was incredibly durable, and so it was used to cover interior woodwork and anything on the outside of the house.
That's problematic because your woodwork is the stuff that's constantly abraded. You have wooden windows that are sliding up and down, so you have paint dust kind of coming off of them all the time. Doors where they rub on the top of the door against the door jamb. And then the exterior of the house obviously tends to chip a lot anywhere that it's exposed to weather. So you have lead paint in the most problematic places.
In some West Virginia counties, as many as 86% of the homes were built before 1980, according to the 2000 U.S. Census. Poverty compounds exposure risk. Fixing paint is expensive.
We were so fortunate to have the time and resources to address the problem, and the problems were relatively small and easy to deal with.
That's Danny's older sister, Kelly. About 4 years ago, when her third child was 15 months old, her daughter's blood lead levels also tested high, though not nearly as high as Ciro's. In both Danny and Kelly's cases, family and friends rallied, contributing time and resources to clean and fix potential sources of contamination. Commissioner Gupta said no government funds are available for remediation in West Virginia.
So many families who even shy away from having their kids tested because they're terrified that they won't be able to fix the problems. because of the expense, especially. That's a big issue with older homes.
So. Kelly's daughter, Laurel, is now almost 5. Within a few weeks of initial diagnosis, her levels had dropped to within normal ranges. She shows no signs that she once was exposed to the toxin. Sierra was retested 2 months after the initial exam. His levels had dropped to a 14. Remember, ideally, a child's levels are below 5. That was in October. He will continue to be tested in the coming months. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from the Benedum Foundation.